Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, people elect governments to create an environment that will help them improve their lives. Governments cannot do everything. We agree that there must be individual effort from each one of us. Governments are not elected to make excuses. During election campaigns, governments make promises and are expected to fulfill some, if not all, of these promises. Madam Speaker, the government of the United Workers' Party is a government of excuses, a government that takes no responsibility for its actions, a government that refuses to level with the people of St. Lucia, a government that has become arrogant, vindictive, and petty. A government that targets people for victimization. A government that believes in spin and flashing mirrors. A government, when caught in wrongdoing, prefers to spend taxpayers' money on expensive legal proceedings. Example, the Tuxedo Villas issue, instead of admitting wrong. A government whose supporters and spin doctors prefer to hide in the convenient statements of successive governments instead of speaking the truth. Madam Speaker, governments do have choices. They can influence changes in the lives of people. That is why they are elected. Not to blame the opposition, not to make excuses, not to say you did it also. But to use their creativity and good judgment, wisdom, dialogue, and humility to implement projects and set realistic targets based on sensible, well-thought-out priorities. Madam Speaker, if governments are powerless, then why stay in power? The government of St. Lucia is a blame government. A government that is clueless, rudderless, arrogant, selfish, and vindictive. A government that cannot inspire hope in people. Madam Speaker, the government tells us that there was a 4.4% growth in the economy. The Prime Minister goes further to say that this growth is based on a new calculation of the gross domestic product. And if the old method of calculation was used, it would have been 16% less in the old method. Madam Speaker, the unemployed young person, the businessman, the vendor, the farmer, understands much better than the Honorable Prime Minister that this growth that he describes can be said to be called lies, damn lies, and statistics. The 4.4% growth does not heal the sufferings of the people. The people cannot afford to buy a cylinder of gas for $40. The statistical new method means nothing to the housewife who cannot make ends meet. This method only pleases the ego of economists, not the people of the country. The people do not trust or care rebate figures. They want bread, freedom, and justice. And the 4.4% statistical growth does not add up to the reality of the people of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, the government is telling us that even if they borrowed substantially from 2007 to 2010, the debt to GDP ratio has actually declined under the rebate method. And I have no problem with that. This means, Madam Speaker, that when the St. Lucia Labour Party ruled the country, the debt-to-service ratio was much lower than was stated in the Social and Economic Review, because these figures were not based on the rebate method. So all the talk about debt, overruns, debt, has been debunked by their own calculations, Madam Speaker. It has been debunked by their own calculations, Mr. Speaker. But Madam Speaker, what these rebate figures say is that in the years 2003 to 2006, the Telusha Labour Party created a cumulative total of 34.43% growth in the economy of Telusha. That is the performance on the Labour Party government in under the rebate method of calculation. The cumulative growth, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, while we speak about debt, the IMF, Madam Speaker, in its last report, warned the government that St. Lucia's debt profile is heavily dependent on private financial sources, which has increased the cost of financing and the rollover risk. Due to the small pool of creditors in the regional market, the risk of exhausting financing sources have increased. End of quote. The IMF report, Madam Speaker, also says that if it becomes necessary to tap private international financial markets, St. Lucia will attain an unfavorable credit rating, which will result in the country facing higher interest on borrowing. In this budget, Madam Speaker, we will borrow a further $96 million from bond financing, and we intend to undertake under a private airport financing arrangement over $500 million of debt, Madam Speaker. That will further erode, Madam Speaker, the debt framework of the country and make rollover of debt more difficult. So I'm warning the Minister of Finance to be careful in his borrowing, even if the rebate method says that we are only 3% above the prudential ratios. Let's be careful in the future, Madam Speaker. But, Madam Speaker, while the Minister of Finance speaks about a 4.4% growth, the Department of Management Studies of the University of the West Indies, in a recent CARICOM consumer sentiment survey, and I want to make it a document of the House, it says, Madam Speaker, that St. Lucia has is in the lowest bracket of in the consumer sentiment index. What that means, Madam Speaker, is that the majority of consumers are generally pessimistic about their personal financial situation. That is what, these are not my words, it's words from the CARICOM Consumer Sentiment Survey. And that survey was completed in the entire CARICOM region, and there were 6,157 responses. It also says, Madam Speaker, that St. Lucia also stood in the lower bracket in the Consumer Expectations Index. St. Lucia stood in the lower bracket in the Current Economic Conditions Index. It stood in the lower bracket in the Current Personal Financial Situation, Madam Speaker. St. Lucia also stood in the lower bracket in the Expected Personal Financial Situation. The only one, Madam Speaker, was St. Lucia. The only index where St. Lucia was equal or not in the lower bracket was in the current buying conditions in the country. What is more telling, Madam Speaker, is in the government economic policy ratings, respondents in St. Lucia will ask the question, as to the economic policies of the government, would you say the government is doing a good job, only a fair or poor job? These were the results, Madam Speaker, and I can make a document of the House. The results were, Madam Speaker, in St. Lucia, 2.5% of the people said the government was doing a good job. 37.5% of the solution of the people said the government is doing only a fair job. 51.9% said the government was doing a poor job. And 7.8% said they did not know. These were the results of the 4.4% economic growth for the government of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, whereas I have no argument with the calculation of the growth, I have absolutely no problem with that. I'm saying that this growth The people of the country, they are not feeling this ghost man speaker. The small businessman, the farmer, the hotel worker who loses his job. That ghost, he doesn't feel it. It is statistics, Madam Speaker. So we can sit and we can boast about the statistics, but the reality of the situation is that growth does not, Madam Speaker. The people do not feel that growth. That is the reality. And by an independent survey for the CARICOM Consumer Sentiment Survey, that is what it says. Not my words, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the government pretends that they have few choices. Their hands are tied. They are left to the mercy of outside factors. I agree, Madam Speaker. Our economy is fragile. Our economy is open. Our economy is dependent on many foreign factors. But the problem with the government, Madam Speaker, is the problem of priorities. The government hasn't got its priorities right. The government is too concerned with short-term measures for political gain, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the government, in their own deliberate judgment, took decisions to use taxpayers' money and the resources of the country in the following programs. An FCCA conference that cost the government $6 million. A CHA conference that cost the government $10.5 million. Boxing in Paradise that cost the government $3.4 million. Amy Winehouse in the Jazz Festival cost the government $500,000, $500,000. The rebranding of St. Lucia as a tourist destination cost the government $2.7 million. The derelict Dyer building cost the government $30 million to buy and $30 million to repair. The HEPL in tourism cost the government $3 million. Legal fees to be paid to lawyers and trainers cost the government $500,000. 500 acres of land at Black Bay Viewport the government lost because of a silly transaction, Madam Speaker, I have nothing on my head. And when members of the Assembly House try to ridicule people, when they try to ridicule, they must look in their backyard. Because in this house, I will not ridicule anybody. But if a time came to ridicule, Madam Speaker, I can ridicule. So be careful what you ask for. Madam Speaker, 500 acres of land at $100,000 an acre. That is $50 million that this government, because of a bad decision, this government has lost. Because of a hasty decision, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, a total of $137 million of priorities, of wasted priorities, that this government has spent or committed on useless projects. That $137 million could fund universal health care. It could begin work on the Bag Hill. It could give every child in St. Lucia a computer. It could create employment for several young people. It could support small businesses, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, it is a matter of allocation of resources and not only Hurricane Thomas or the world recession. It's a matter of priorities, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, without that waste, the government would be able to fund programs for the people of St. Lucia. And if we add the $390 million for the airport, you will see that there will be no need for national security levy. Because the Prime Minister very easily mentioned a national security levy. The national security levy will put 1% on the CIF of some selected items. The Prime Minister never said what the items were. Madam Speaker, that means that the cost of living, the cost of certain goods that the people of St. Lucia use will increase. Madam Speaker, the cost of certain goods that the people of St. Lucia use will be increased because of the national security level. But Madam Speaker, the people, the government continues to boast, continues to be arrogant, continues to have no regard for people, continues to make mis- continues to make excuses, Madam Speaker. All I'm saying, Madam Speaker, is that the national security level will increase the cost of certain goods. Madam Speaker, the government speaks of a 4.4% statistical growth, but single mothers cannot buy gas. When the Labour Party was in power, cooking gas was $20.75 per gallon, and we subsidized it. Now it is nearly $40, Madam Speaker. Minibus drivers complain of fuel at $15.38 per gallon. The cost of doing business is increasing. But Madam Speaker, here comes the excuse. We do not produce oil. We don't make oil in Selusha. Everybody knows that, Madam Speaker. That's a fact. Madam Speaker, let me tell you the profile of the cost of oil in Selusha. The only cost that we do not control is $10.03. That is the cost we have no control over. So that $10.03, you add 50 cents, government surcharge. You add $3, government duty. You add 90 cents, retailers markup. And you add 95 cents, importers markup. That gives you a total of $15.58 per gallon. The government consumption tax and surcharge is $3.50, 34.8% of the landed cost. That is the duty. That is the duty that the government puts on gasoline solution, Madam Speaker. And that's a fact. You can spin, you can quarrel, you can argue, 34%. And when we were in government, Madam Speaker, we subsidized fuel, Madam Speaker, for several years to the tune of millions of dollars. You know why we could do that, Madam Speaker? We could do that because the economy was growing. The economy was expanding, Madam Speaker. There was confidence in the governance of the country. Investors were investing in Selusha. 5 new hotels in that period. The economy was expanding, Madam Speaker, and revenue was increasing. Madam Speaker, this government must stop the madness on the dire building. They must get into serious discussion on the reopening of the La Paradise Hotel. They must tell the truth of the 500 acres of land at Black Bay. Tell the people of Black Bay, Beaufort, what is the situation regarding that 500 acres of land? No amount of heckling or arrogance will change that fact. You gave 500 acres of land away, people's land, beach land, and up to now you can't account for it, Madam Speaker. Account for it and stop heckling and believe you can solve people down, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, you must limit the excessive travel by ministers. You must stop ministers from using SUVs to campaign politically. Non-elected ministers have SUVs with drivers in constituencies wasting gas. You know why? Because they don't buy the gas. So they can come and talk about the price of fuel. They do not buy the gas, Madam Speaker. So they have the government vehicles campaigning in constituencies with government drivers, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we buy our gas. Madam Speaker, when I was a government minister, I never used an SUV on my constituency day. Never. My constituents can vouch for that. Never. The Prime Minister did not allow it. On my constituency days, I never used my government driver, nor did I ever use a government SUV on my constituency days. Never. And all the lies and the propaganda that they can spread. Tell them, put that one in, Madam Speaker. Tell them, put it. Madam Speaker, there is nothing in the budget that will stimulate the private sector. Nothing that will stimulate investment in the economy. The National Export Development Strategy was initiated from 2005. It was near completion in 2006. Now, nearly 5 years later, the government is speaking of an implementation arm for the National Export Development Strategy. 5 years later, funding was there. Now, the government is debating whether you take it from the Ministry of Commerce and put it in OPSR. 5 years later. And you talk about development. You talk about jobs to people. The new Fiscal Incentive Act, Madam Speaker, was started again during my term, 5 years before. Not yet completed. But this year, you come back and you speak about the same National Export Development Strategy and the same Fiscal Incentive Act, Madam Speaker, while the young people of this country are seeking employment, Madam Speaker. Last year, Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister spoke of the new units for investment. He said there'll be a new unit for investment, something away from the Ministry of Finance and some mixed up thing, Madam Speaker. This year, he comes back and he says there's an economic development unit that will be able to attract investment in the creative industries, in medical schools, and in ICT. What will the National Development Corporation do, Madam Speaker? I thought the National Development Corporation was the investment arm of the government. What will it do? You have another unit, an EDU. Don't you trust the NDC? Don't you trust the board of the NDC, Madam Speaker? Why have another layer of bureaucracy? Why have another layer of bureaucracy, Madam Speaker? Madam Speaker, I'm saying to the government, use the foreign embassies. Use the foreign embassies, Madam Speaker, to generate investment. Use the foreign embassies, Madam Speaker. Use them, Madam Speaker. Don't create another layer of government, Madam Speaker. Don't create it. Madam Speaker, we still make excuses for the Consumer Protection Act. We still make excuses. 5 years ago, excuses. Just like the Labour Code. The government is never in a hurry to implement legislation that benefits the majority of people's solution. The Consumer Protection Act was there years ago. Every year we come with another excuse, Madam Speaker. I'm saying to the government, please implement the Consumer Protection Act. Last year, Madam Speaker, I spoke of the services sector as an industry where considerable employment could be generated for the youth of Ireland. The government has done nothing to harness the potential of that sector. It's a matter of priorities, Madam Speaker. It's a matter of emphasis. The services sector, Madam Speaker, can generate employment for hundreds of young people. I'm saying to this government, do something about the services sector. Bring it together. Help it. Assist it, Madam Speaker, because services, that is the need. Are the emerging sectors of the economy that will help you in your problems with the agriculture sector. Do something of the services sector. Do not only be concerned about your own political survival. Do not only be concerned about your own political survival, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, WASCO, we are told that water is life. Does the government really believe that water is life? In 2006, the government found WASCO in the process of reorganization so as to make it a viable entity. WASCO had problems. But we knew that you needed to have a reliable and consistent service of water to the people of Saint-Lucia. So we began the implementation of a program, a process, not an event. Development, Madam Speaker, is not an event. Development is a process. It takes time. It comes in stages, Madam Speaker. So the development of WASCO was a process. What did the government do? The government, for its own selfish reasons, caused the privatization of WASCO to be sabotaged. And instead, they said they formed a committee to track the way forward. Where is the report of that committee, Madam Speaker? The Prime Minister and his minister promised reports and discussions, a discussion on WASCO, a report on WASCO, Madam Speaker. Now, in this budget, we hear about more commissions and more bills, more paper. No mention, Madam Speaker, is made of the serious financial problems in WASCO. WASCO owes the electric company, Lucilec, millions of dollars in unpaid utility bills, Madam Speaker. Any day now, Lucilec can. I don't think they will, but Lucilec can cut the water supply from WASCO. Why doesn't the government look, Madam Speaker, for a situation where you can have some sort of strategic alliance with Lucilec, where you can use the debt, you can have a debt to equity swap, so that you can reduce the debt burden on WASCO, Madam Speaker. Why doesn't the government create a new business model for Wasco? Because, man, speaker, Wasco is important. Water is important. How do you expect to be attracting investment in the hotel industry if your water entity is in problems, man, speaker? Why has the government made Wasco a priority? What will happen to the Roseau Dam if you suffer from another flood? Or for that matter, from a drought? What will happen to the Roseau Dam? When will the government present to the people a well thought out plan for Wasco that promotes a business model that is based on realistic assumptions? The government of the Social Labour Party will continue on the path of reorganization for Wasco as a priority when we return to government. Madam Speaker, the government boasts that the year 2010 was the best year ever for tourism arrivals, with 305,939 stove arrivals. As usual, the chest beating, the boast, the arrogance goes on. The Prime Minister repeated his minister's refrain and said that was due not only to additional flights, but effective marketing initiatives. Effective marketing initiatives. Madam Speaker, let us examine the money spent by the taxpayers on the tourism industry and examine and decide whether we had real value for the money that we spent. For the pre-earning question, Madam Speaker, it cost the taxpayers $40 million in subventions from the government for the tourism industry. And in that $40 million, there was $5.5 million of airline subsidies to attract 305,949 visitors. That means every visitor who came to the country, it cost the taxpayers $147 per visitor. Let's compare that to the year 2005, Madam Speaker. In the year 2005, the people of the country invested $24 million in the tourism industry with a zero airline subsidy to attract 296,678 visitors at a cost of $69 per visitor. So, Madam Speaker, that means for 9,259 visitors extra, it cost the taxpayers $19 million more at a cost of $1,728 per visitor on a year-to-year basis. That is between the year 2005, if you compare the year 2005, Madam Speaker, to the year 2010, Madam Speaker. That's what it cost the government. Are you getting real value for your money, Madam Speaker? Madam Speaker, this is the reality of our tourism. Are we getting value for the expenses, Madam Speaker? Between 2007 and 2010, the taxpayers of St. Lucia were asked to pay the following for tourism promotion. In 2007, they spent $25 million with a zero airline subsidy. 2008, they spent $46 million, an airline subsidy of $4.1 million. In 2009, they spent $55 million, airline subsidy of $3.9 million. In 2010, they spent $45 million, an airline subsidy of $5.5 million. A total investment by the taxpayers of $171 million from the year 2007, including an airline subsidy of $13.5 million. Madam Speaker, when was the last time that this Honorable House got a copy of the audited financial statements from the Social Service Board? When was the last time? How do we know what the cost of the minister's expenses or the minister's telephone? How do you know that? When Madam Speaker, that the laws of the country say that that 3 months after the 31st of March, a set of audited financial statements must be laid in this Honorable House. Madam Speaker, when was the last time we audited financial statements laid in this Honorable House? A simple question that gives a simple answer. When was the last time were the Tourist Board audited financial statements laid in this Honorable House? Madam Speaker, this tourism success story, Man Seeker, is based, they say, on skillful negotiation with airlines. We warned that these airlines' agreements should be made public and should be examined by the AG's office, Man Seeker. These agreements should not be private agreements. They should be public documents for the AG's office and for the people of Selangor to examine and know what's there. Madam Speaker, we hear of increased elites. Madam Speaker, the reality is we've got 25% more elites, but our rivals only increased by 9.9%. This means, Madam Speaker, that while we are able to attract more elites at subsidized airfares, our destination was unable to secure the expected load factors to match the subsidized airfares. And this year, Madam Speaker, we are told that we're going to lose 40,000 seats as when compared to last year. Could we not have considered all the possibilities when we're negotiating with the airlines? Could we not have spent taxpayers' money wisely, Madam Speaker? What we are doing is that we're just spending money without thinking of what we're doing. Madam Speaker, the situation is with WestJet. The government's solution is faced with a bill of $1.5 million from WestJet. All because we failed to examine the contract in greater detail. WestJet decreased the fares to increase numbers, and now they are asking not the government, but the taxpayers to pay the difference. If we had only discussed these agreements, if we had only allowed the AG's office to look at these agreements, Madam Speaker, these problems would not exist. Madam Speaker, we speak of increased costs, and we say that our tourism industry is doing badly because of the environment, the outer environment. We agree, Madam Speaker, we agree. But Madam Speaker, this same government is increasing the cost of St. Lucia as a destination by adding $35 US an airport departure tax. So what you're saying is that you're saying that economic conditions are bad, etc., but you are making it more expensive for people to come to St. Lucia by your own actions, not by the actions of poor economic conditions, your own actions. You are increasing the cost of people coming to St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, and then you complain about the British government and the APD. And when you say about it, they tell you, don't know what to say, the APD is a preferential tax. And you're going to go to the WTO with the APD. Madam Speaker, it took the banana industry years to get a resolution from the WTO. Years, ages. Let me tell you, Carter knows that. Ages. The WTO won't take a decision on the APD tax in months. It takes years, Madam Speaker. What you need is negotiation. And what you need, because, Madam Speaker, there's something called ring fencing. You cannot say that one tax is wrong and you implement the same tax in your country, Madam Speaker. But, Madam Speaker, it must not only be the hotel workers, the farmers, and the taxi drivers to make sacrifices. The useless travel by ministers must stop. They must make sacrifices also, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the hotel worker who is on rotation, the taxi driver who the bank wants to seize his vehicle, the vendors who cannot sell their goods, Madam Speaker, they do not feel the 9.9% increase in tourism. Major hotels are in problems, Madam Speaker. Some of them are on the verge of closing the doors, Madam Speaker. Some of them are on the verge of closing the doors, Madam Speaker. But we speak about a 9.9% increase in tourism, Madam Speaker. Investments in the tourism industry have all but dried out. And the only ongoing projects mentioned by the Prime Minister were projects started that were conceived under the government of the St. Lucia Labour Party. Only projects, Madam Speaker. The landing, Hotel Chocolat. Hotel Chocolat was a project negotiated by the last Minister of Agriculture working in a cabinet committee with the Ministry of Tourism and the Minister of Communication Works. That was where Hotel Chocolat came along. So we happy to open, put up boats, have some humility. Don't boast, man speaker. Have some humility. Man and speaker, the only significant investment in the tourism industry now is the Sanders Grand, the Rochambeau Hotel. That's the only significant investment in the tourism industry now. The Sanders Grand. And I want to put on public record my gratitude to the hotel owners who have kept their hotels open. To Mr. Gordon Bud Stewart, the man, the owner of Sanders, who has also shown confidence in the government of the St. Lucia Labour Party. By Tuxedo Villas has remained open with incentives. Madam Speaker, that is the story of hotel investment, Madam Speaker. This is the story of hotel investment, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the small hotels are in danger of total collapse. When last have you heard about the plan to revive the small hotel industry? The small hotels are dying. They're dying. When last you heard about it, Madam Speaker? When last you heard about it? And the expansion in the hotel industry is concentrated in the all-inclusive sector, Madam Speaker, because the larger hotels, the rates have to be discounted to attract visitors, Madam Speaker. So we need to speak the truth about the industry. Not flashing mirrors. Speak the truth. Level with the people. Speak the truth, Madam Speaker. Say, you have the growth, but that is the problem. We have problems, Madam Speaker. The cruise industry, Madam Speaker, the future is bleak. In 2010, cruise passenger arrivals declined by 4.5%, and it's projected that in the future there will be double-digit declines in the cruise tourism industry. What will happen to the taxi drivers? What was the result of the $6 million you spent on the FCCA conference? And by the way, Madam Speaker, you spent $6 million on the FCCA conference, and you spent another $4 million on the CHA conference, and you rented tents. You brought tents down, you rented them. $10 million. Wasted. Why couldn't you have waited and built a convention center? That could have stayed for the people of St. Lucia. But haste for political survival, an obsession with power. So you take $10 million to buy tents, and whereas you could have taken your time and built a convention center, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the taxi drivers and the vendors are the ones who are suffering from the cruise, from the decline in the cruise industry, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, and right now, these same taxi drivers are under pressure at the Hiwanura International Airport because the hotels are being allowed to create transition for the guests, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, when the taxi drivers lose market share in the cruise industry and they have problems in the Hiwanura Airport, how will they feed their families? So we sit here and we believe we can outspeak people, we can talk louder than them, we can have flashing mirrors, we can boast, but that's not the reality. The reality is the taxi driver. He doesn't care when you sit here and you try to outspeak me, or you try to say that things were better, that you try to say that things are better in this time or their time, Madam Speaker. The taxi drivers, Madam Speaker, the taxi drivers, they are the ones under pressure, Madam Speaker. What did we do to help the taxi drivers? Madam Speaker, we gave them incentives for their motor vehicles. We gave them incentives so they could upgrade their fleet, Madam Speaker, so they could get something from the industry. That's what we did. Madam Speaker, the problem with us, Madam Speaker, is that we are always trying to score points. We are always trying to fight against each other, Madam Speaker, because the points we are making are realistic points. The cruise industry has declined by 4.5%. That's a fact, Madam Speaker. The cruise industry has declined by 4.5%. That's also a fact. And it's going to decline double digits this year. That's a fact too. Madam Speaker, what would change if we will not waste $6 million at the FCCA conference? That's what would change. Because we have the priorities. We have our priorities right. So your problem is the problem of priorities, Madam Speaker. Priorities. The point I'm making to you is that $136 million you spent uselessly on this project could have been used for other things. Madam Speaker, if tourism is the engine of growth, Madam Speaker, we know about glibness of the mouth. Glib, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, tourism is the engine of growth. Then, Madam Speaker, we must create the necessary linkages for the tourism industry. The Labour Party government will work towards a new tourism for St. Lucia. A new tourism with linkages at all levels. At all levels, Madam Speaker. A new tourism where the people will be involved in the process. A new tourism that will put people at the center of any policy intervention, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, a new St. Lucia Labour Party will modernize the legislative. A new St. Lucia Labour Party government will modernize the legislative framework that supports the industry by enacting in Parliament a new St. Lucia Tourist Board Act after discussion with the industry partners. Because we believe that the Tourist Board Act needs to be refined. We need a new, the Tourist Board Act was an act that was there from 1981, Madam Speaker. And up to now, the Tourist Board Act still talking for its supper, sir. Madam Speaker, the SNP government will re-examine and improve the Tourism Incentive Act to provide new and additional incentives for small hotels, guest houses, and for the development of tourism and tourism services. A new St. Lucia Labour Party government will ensure that adequate financial resources are allocated to tourism promotion and will eliminate the wastage of the St. Lucia Tourist Board budget by ensuring that resources are allocated in a tactical and responsible manner. Madam Speaker, a new St. Lucia Labour Party government will return to the original and successful tourism branding tag of St. Lucia, Simply Beautiful. We will use this tag, Madam Speaker, more widely as a theme to inspire a product offering that focuses on related elements such as excellent service standards, cultural integrity, natural heritage, and a pristine environment. This is going to be the inspirational tagline for consideration of promoting St. Lucia as a green tourism destination, Madam Speaker. St. Lucia, Simply Beautiful. And speaking about the green tourism destination, we realize that the subvention for the National Trust was reduced, Madam Speaker. The National Trust, in a time for climate change, in a time where their focus is on the environment, the government has reduced the allocation for the National Trust. Why, Madam Speaker? And that is a year of climate change. That is a year where we're speaking about all sorts of things. But in our actions, our priorities, we've reduced it, Madam Speaker. We've reduced the subvention for the National Trust, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, our new Labour Party government will encourage hotels and restaurants that benefit from government incentives to participate more in the development of communities on our island. We want to see more hotels adopt social and environmental causes, Madam Speaker. Our party will strongly support all investments that make maximum use of local content, involve joint partnerships with local concerns, or promote the use of local products and expertise. Madam Speaker, a Labour Party government will explore and develop specific community tourism ventures that highlight the positive attributes of our communities and enhance the livelihoods of their residents. We will do all in our power, Madam Speaker, to ensure that the district, the villages, Labri, Chozel, Canaries, Hiku, are included in mainstream tourism activity, Madam Speaker. We started it, Madam Speaker, with a Nature Heritage Tourism Program. We started it, Madam Speaker. We will continue our government man speaker, will create through training, product development and marketing a distinctive solution cuisine that promotes the use of local ingredients, man speaker, while maintaining international standards. This will include the use of solution beverages, etc., man speaker, and special solution cooking, man speaker, because cooking can help promote solution as a destination, man speaker. We will adopt a specialized program for the enhancement of art and craft development, indigenous manufacturing and merchandising programs that seek to maximize the value added of local enterprises and individuals. A solution led by the government, Mr. Speaker, will conduct a comprehensive need assessment of the tourism industry to determine, among other things, the human resource development needs of the industry. This assessment will be used to formulate a comprehensive human resource development program that will be aimed at increasing local investment at all levels of the industry, Mr. Speaker. Following from the results of the need assessment, our government will establish strategic partnerships with existing and prospective tourism hospitality institutes in order to create a national tourism and hospitality training institute that will cater to the comprehensive development of the human resources in St. Lucia's tourism sector. Our government will also work closely with the private sector to enhance institutional and on-the-job training for our hotel workers, tour guides, taxi drivers, and other tourism service providers. Our objective is to ensure that we provide world-class service consistent with our world-class reputation. Madam Speaker, you cannot be marketing a destination if you do not see about the product. You have to have a product to develop. So the new St. Lucia Labour Party government will create a tourism development agency comprising of public and private sector participation. That agency will be responsible for the development of high growth segments, including adventure, heritage, culture, sport, health, and conference tourism for the overall improvement of our tourism projects. We will do that in a public-private sector body, which we will call a tourism development agency, Madam Speaker. It is critical, Madam Speaker, that our tourism industry follows international best practices if it is to earn and maintain the label of a world-class destination. Our government will work through the Tourism Development Agency and the Bureau of Standards to ensure that all service providers achieve and maintain international benchmarks of quality, Madam Speaker. We need to be a world-class destination because our competition is the world. So we need to bring things up to a world-class destination status, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, St. Lucia Jazz has served our country well. However, the government of the United Workers Party has sent mixed signals on this world-renowned festival and is now a shadow of its once great self. Our party is committed to improving the standard of St. Lucia Jazz and return it to a position of prominence on the global musical landscape. And the St. Lucia Labour Party will bring jazz back to the people, Madam Speaker. We will have jazz in Fondo. We will have jazz in Fondo, and we will have jazz in Marsha. We also intend to ensure that there is adequate participation by St. Lucia in all aspects of St. Lucia Jazz. Because you see, we want to have St. Lucia Jazz to make it a island wide. So St. Lucia for that month is going to be a musical island. Everyone will participate. So not only one short Pigeon Point, everybody will participate. And there will be a multiplier effect. Because all parts of the island will have some music. Music. The island is going to be an island of music for the month, Madam Speaker. Be an island of music, Madam Speaker. That is what the government of the National Party will do. So it can have the benefits, Madam Speaker, of the jazz festival. It happens in New Orleans, Madam Speaker. It happens in New Orleans. And some people know that in places like Las Vegas, Madam Speaker, there's gambling all year long. Madam Speaker, when we started the construction of a new mental health facility and a new general hospital, we had the twin goals of improving the quality of health care for citizens and positioning St. Lucia so that it could be marketed as a viable health tourism destination. Tapio Hospital has joined, and I want to commend the directors and owners of Tapio Hospital, Madam Speaker, because they have improved the range of services that it offers, and they have achieved international accreditation. Therefore, Madam Speaker, we'll forge a closer collaboration between the public and private sectors in health and tourism to aggressively pursue our health tourism program during our next term of office, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, sports tourism. We will build on the investment made by our government during its previous term of office in world-class sports infrastructure to revive the sports tourism program. Unfortunately, under this government, the National Stadium has become a makeshift hospital, and the Borsodi Cricket Ground looks nothing like its glorious self. Only today, Madam Speaker, a cricket match could not happen at the Borsodi Cricket Ground. I'm not casting blame, I'm stating a fact. But I'm happy that the cricket match went to the Mindu Philip Park in the constituency that I have represented for the last 14 years.
Honourable Member, you have 10 more minutes to complete your presentation.
Madam Speaker, I beg to invoke Section 32(10) to allow the Honourable Member an additional 16 minutes to complete his presentation.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 32(10) be invoked to allow Honourable Member from Cass Street East an additional 16 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question. As many as are of that opinion, say aye.
Aye.
As many as are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable Member, you may continue.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, Honourable Members. Madam Speaker, an immediate priority of our government will be to re-establish contact with the extensive network of sports travel companies we have developed, and to develop a comprehensive sports tourism program that will use our facilities so that there can be viable activities that can create some economic benefits and promote our country, bring in revenue, and expose our sportsmen and women to world-class competition, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I will yield to your warning, but I want to make a point, Madam Speaker, that the sports tourism officer and the Solutions Service Board was relieved of his duties. Madam Speaker, we will certainly...
Honourable Member, I either missed the point or didn't link it with your presentation.
Because the Sports Tourism Promotion Officer, he will help in the promotion of St. Lucia as a sports tourism destination. And he's no longer working. So that has caused a gap in tourism in promoting St. Lucia as a sports tourism destination. There is no one to do it, Madam Speaker. He has a specialized job. Madam Speaker, we'll certainly not support failed money-wasting ventures like Boxing in Paradise that spent $3.4 million of taxpayers' money to receive $40,000 in marketing value, Madam Speaker. $3.4 million, and the benefit was $30 million. Because when they timed the show, they didn't realize that it was a plate at 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody was sleeping. Madam Speaker, cruise tourism. Madam Speaker, the city of Castries has always been an important component of our tourism product. Attractions like the Derek Walcott Square and the Minor Basilica of the Immaculate Conception have drawn thousands of visitors to our city center. When we were in power, Madam Speaker, we developed La Place Carinage. We built the Desmond Skeet Animation Center and invested in the redevelopment of the Point Seraphine Booth. It was with the twin intention of improving our cruise shipping facilities and further enhancing the tourism product offering in our country, Madam Speaker. During our next term of office, we'll take this project to the next level with the full enhancement of Fort Castries and the city of Kashi. We will not come to this Honorable House every year and make pronouncements of development of point terrapin, massive stalls, and these never come. We'll have a stage by stage redevelopment of Kashi. We'll improve the vendors' arcade. We'll discuss with the vendors. We'll discuss with them, Madam Speaker, stage by stage, Madam Speaker. But our objective, Madam Speaker, will be the main objective, and the first phase will be the redevelopment of the western side of the harbor from the CN of the George F.L. Charles Airport Runway to the San Jose Bridge. This will be pursued, Madam Speaker, for a public-private sector partnership. This upscale development will include shopping facilities, dining facilities, pleasure boating, and leisure and other leisure activities, Madam Speaker. Further, Madam Speaker, we'll encourage the relocation of all cargo facilities at Port Castries to the wider Castries Basin as a precursor to making possible significant improvements to the economic, aesthetic, and recreational dimensions of the facility and its transformation into one of the premier cruise tourism ports in the Caribbean. Madam Speaker, yachting. The yachting sector is definitely one in which we have some degree of competitive advantage. A new San Lucia Labour Party government will provide greater support to this sector through the following. Introduction of a yachting act to allow for the orderly development of the sector, removing unnecessary bureaucracy, providing continuous customer service training to the frontline public officers who interact with the sector, facilitating skills training for solutions who want to work in the yachting sector, develop Ganges Bay as an upmarket marina, improving the customs, immigration, and port services facilities at Kufre. Because we believe, Madam Speaker, that in the diversification of our tourism industry, yachting can play a very important part, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the St. Lucia Labour Party understands that new avenues must be created in the tourism industry. That is why, Madam Speaker, we believe that the creative industries is one aspect of the new emerging sectors of our economy. The Honorable Prime Minister allocated $5 million to be spent for 3 years in the creative industries, Madam Speaker. But we believe that we can go further. We are fully committed, Madam Speaker, to the establishment of a vibrant creative industry for the marriage of the arts and cultural expression with business and technology in order to stimulate a vibrant new economic growth sector. Madam Speaker, our government will lay the basis for the development and sustainability of this new sector by interventions at 3 levels, legislative, financial, and institutional. We're going to improve the creative industries by interventions at 3 levels. At the legislative level, Madam Speaker, we will provide tax incentives to attract private sector investment in the funding of arts and cultural production. We'll allow tax deductions to encourage private individuals and companies to participate in a cultural gifts program, whereby donations of collections of arts, book collections, and culturally significant crafts will be made to archives, libraries, and museums. We'll create a register of arts and culture organizations based on acceptable criteria for which tax-deductible contributions can be made. We'll strengthen copyright legislation to better protect artists and help them generate increased economic activity from their creation. At the financial level, Madam Speaker, we'll be providing seed financing for startup funds to provide credit facilities to artists wishing to produce marketable works and other works of impeccable artistic value, Madam Speaker. We will sustain and, whenever possible, increase government subvention to national artistic and cultural institutions, including the St. Lucia National Carnival Band Association, the St. Lucia School of Music, and the Folk Research Center, Madam Speaker. We will sustain and, when possible, we'll increase the subvention to these bodies, Madam Speaker. We'll make it mandatory that all artworks exhibited in public buildings, including schools, as far as possible, be work of local artists. Save and except when these are works donated by overseas bodies. Madam Speaker, institutional for the creative industries, because we believe, we really believe, that like the services industry, the creative industry, a new engine of growth and multi-industry, we really believe that, Madam Speaker. Institutional, we revisit the role and functions of the Department of Culture so that department can become a more dynamic partner working alongside arts and cultural institutions and the private sector to stimulate opportunities and identify markets for arts and cultural projects. We'll resume our efforts to build and maintain a world-class center for the performing arts in honor of the many theater activists, past and present, who kept the performing arts alive, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we'll provide leadership and startup funding towards the creation of a national performing arts company comprising the best talents in dance, drama, music, theater, sound, lighting, and associated talents. We'll undertake a review within our first year of office of the priority list of courses and programs of study and ensuring that support is provided for persons wishing to pursue studies in all areas of arts and culture, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, support for arts, craft vendors, and artisans. We will work closely with vendors' associations to make much-needed improvements to the vendors' activities. We'll work with them. We understand that there are difficulties, Madam Speaker. There are difficulties. We'll work with them. We'll talk to them. We will not be arrogant and high-handed. We'll talk and we'll work with them, Madam Speaker. That's what the Labour Party government is used to. That's what we'll continue to do, Madam Speaker. We also believe, Madam Speaker, that our vendors' arcade should be a place where primarily St. Lucian products are displayed and offered for sale, and not one where products manufactured overseas are repackaged and sold as solutions. So we'll work with the vendors, we'll work with the craft producers, so we can uplift the craft industry. Because recent studies have shown, Madam Speaker, that the craft and the handicraft industry can provide meaningful employment and generate income at the same time serve as a tourism attraction. Therefore, we'll provide financial and technical support for training of our artisans so that they can improve the quality and variety of products that are made in St. Lucia, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we believe, Madam Speaker, that the tourism industry, together with agriculture and manufacturing and the service industry, that will be the new focus. Because we also understand that the tourism industry must have benefits, must have financial benefits, must have economic benefits for as many people as possible. We believe in the philosophical underpinning of the tourism industry, Madam Speaker. We believe, Madam Speaker, we believe that tourism cannot be just an industry for few. If tourism is the largest industry, Madam Speaker, it must create poverty reduction opportunities for the people of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker. We must use the tourism industry as a vehicle for poverty reduction, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, air transport policy. Over the last few months, Madam Speaker, we've been ridiculed by a senseless strike over an 8-seater airline. We've been ridiculed by a senseless strike over an 8-seater airline. We believe, Madam Speaker, that there ought to be a cohesive, a coherent, and a well-discussed airport transportation policy. The hit-and-miss policies for air transportation must change. Madam Speaker, LIAT. We continue to attack LIAT as an airline. We continue, Madam Speaker. We agree, and it's our position, that LIAT needs probably re-engineering, probably LIAT needs a new restructuring of business model. But Madam Speaker, all other airlines have come and they have gone and LIAT has remained, Madam Speaker. Caribbean Star was here. EC Express was here. All the airlines went to the, they have come and they have gone, and Liat have remained. So you must stop bashing Liat. He must work with Liat Mansinga. He must stop bashing Liat Mansinga. And to create problems with a neighboring country over an 8-seater airline, Mansinga, is disgraceful, to say the least, Mansinga. Disgraceful. And you must stop it, Mansinga. You must stop it. You must stop it, Mansinga. So we need an airport transportation policy, Mansinga. Madam Speaker, never in the political history of St. Lucia has there been so much desperation for one electoral seat in St. Lucia. There has never been so much desperation for one political seat in St. Lucia from the history of adult suffrage. There has never been, Man Speaker. That desperation, Man Speaker, takes the form of lies, half-truths, propaganda, misinformation, Man Speaker. All these just for victory in one political seat, Man Speaker. Madam Speaker, the people of Kashid East, Madam Speaker, have been told several times, they give Pierre money. Pierre gets $30,000. Pierre big wall by his home. I'm coming back to the wall by his home because they believe they have something on me. They believe. But I'm not ashamed. I have never used government office, Madam Speaker. All of you. Every one of you can never find one degree of dishonesty in me when I was a minister of government. Not none of you. I defy any of you with all the propaganda and the rumors, Madam Speaker, to bring one shred of evidence. Because you look for it, because I have been a minister who has done things in the proper way, Madam Speaker. So when I stand and I speak without fear or favor. So all those who believe they have something on me because they say that I use government funds to build a wall by my home, they'll hear from me later, and I'm going to deal with that later in this submission, Madam Speaker. But I have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. I've done nothing to be afraid of. I can live and I can walk and I can work in St. Lucia with a easy and a free conscience, Madam Speaker. And I'm proud of that, Madam Speaker. I'm proud of that. Madam Speaker, in Kashid East, the money they give Pierre. Let me explain to you, Madam Speaker, the allocations that were made to Kashid East, Madam Speaker, during my term in this last election period. Because all over the place, at people's homes, they give Pierre money. Lies. Madam Speaker, 2009, April, $60,000. November 19, Christmas stimulus, $60,000. Easter stimulus 2010, $40,000. Stimulus, January 11, 2011, $30,000. Madam Speaker, every constituency got the Christmas stimulus. Every constituency, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, it's a record. I can tell you. And during the hurricane damage, $50,000 was allocated to Kashid East, like all the other constituencies, and I assisted 69 people with the $50,000. All the other hurricane relief projects done in my constituency were done from my own resources, Madam Speaker. All the water, Madam Speaker, all the support, apart from the $50,000. And Madam Speaker, I have a record of everybody that got assisted from every cent of government stimulus money, Madam Speaker. And I never asked them for their ID card before I gave them support. Madam Speaker, this is what has happened in Kashid East, Madam Speaker. Sometimes I see work happening in Kashid East. I call the media communication work. I say, what's happening there? He says, I do not know. But Madam Speaker, whereas when you speak about giving Pierre money, I want to make it a document of the House, Madam Speaker. I want to show you the unfairness that happens in this country The unfairness that happens in our democracy, man speaker. I want to make it a document of the House. Castries City Council. Payment voucher. $15,150. Date 11/01/10. Details, description for allowances of services for articles. Final payment on contract for the reconstruction of a footpath at Maynard Hill Castries. Mr. Miles Project. $15,150. Check number 003113, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the Castries City Council is funding, the Castries City Council is funding projects for non-elected members of this Honorable House, Madam Speaker. That's what's happening in Castries. I'm going to tell you, there are a number of them, Madam Speaker. All over the place, Madam Speaker. A number of things happening in the constituency, and I know nothing about the Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, my connection to the people is so strong that all them come and tell me, boss man, don't dig nothing, or work I make, or work I doing. And I'm happy for them. I tell them work. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, Madam Speaker. And nobody has ever asked to account for that dollar. But the time will come when we have to account. We have to account for where that money came from and how it was spent in a constituency, Madam Speaker. That time has come. So, Madam Speaker, back to the vexing issue. Care bill walled by his home. Madam Speaker, it is not my fault that I don't live near a hotel. It is not my fault that I don't have a mall as my neighbor. It is not my fault that I don't look into swimming pools when I open my door into my backyard or my front of my house. When I go to the front of my house, I look into a river. That's why I look into my street. When I look in the side of my house, I look into a ravine. That's why I live, Madam Speaker. I live among the people. That's why I live, Madam Speaker, and I'm proud of it. That's why I live. So, Madam Speaker, let us deal with the wall. Let us deal with the wall. They have taken that propaganda so far, Madam Speaker. They have circulated to all the press, and they'll hear from me later. To all the press, Pierre, the Great Wall of Pierre. The Great Wall of Pierre. An email. And Madam Speaker, if you want, Madam Speaker, I can make it a document of the House. And Madam Speaker, they have sent people by my home to take pictures, and they've taken the picture on an angle. This man says the pictures are on an angle so that you cannot see the real story of the wall. Just to spread propaganda. Let me tell you the story of the wall, Madam Speaker. I'll tell you the story of the wall. That wall, Madam Speaker, that wall was in that exact location long before I was born. It's not my wall. I didn't build it. It has never been a wall that was built for me. It was a retaining structure like all other retaining structures all over the country that are built alongside the road when the road, to stabilize it when the road has been cut. It just happened to be run by my house. Further, Madam Speaker, further. Last 2 years ago, Madam Speaker, the road opposite my house and the Minister of Agriculture, Communication Works, he came there, the Prime Minister came there. The road collapsed, Madam Speaker. The road was closed for about 3 months because the wall next to my home collapsed and the road was collapsing. So that whole area is moving. That wall, Madam Speaker, that wall was, and I have pictures. So you see, Madam Speaker, truth is on my side. Truth and righteousness is on my side, not propaganda and lies. I have proof, Madam Speaker, I have pictures, Madam Speaker. And that wall was certified by engineers in the Ministry of Communication Works about 5 years ago. That wall was unsafe, Madam Speaker. And that wall would have fallen. It would have fallen, Madam Speaker, and blocked the road. Because higher up, Ravine Chabot, there's a collapsed structure. The same structure collapsed, and the road is blocked. Bagatelle, same structure, and the road is blocked. So when the community, the prime ministers, community development, constituency development tours was happening. We went for a tour of the area. And the wall, Manchuga, had collapsed, was on the verge of collapsing. There was a big hollow, there was a big, and the pictures are there, Manchuga. I have pictures to prove. So it was decided that that wall, together, and look at the truth, Manchuga, right opposite that wall, by resident and manager, excuse me, Manchuga, I'll say, by Moses and Earl's residence. Opposite my home, man, figure. Right opposite. Because that's what I look into. I don't look into Rodney Bay at my home. I don't. I look into man, figure. Right opposite there. We also built chains and retaining structures to save Moses Monley's house and his kitchen. Madam Speaker, I never chose any contractor for this project. I know who chose a contractor for Moses project. I could have objected. But no, I'm not that petty, vindictive, and selfish. So, Madam Speaker, they put up a big sign. Retaining walls and box culverts. No, no, Madam Speaker. On the same area. Because, you know, that area is moving. There was a gutter, a jail, with a culvert. The culvert was broken, a sunken culvert. So we put a grill over the culvert. So big email, peace is priority. That's the viciousness and the vindictiveness, man speaker, of people in St. Lucia, man speaker. And if running against a Christian is like that, I wonder what happened to a pagan. Madam Speaker, that's the vindictiveness. And that same grill, man speaker, is used by other residents, and it's also used by a particular office that we name on name. That same grill, man speaker. And you can come and see it if you want. You can come and see. Because every day, they're next to my home. But I won't make any problem because I want the lady to get her rent. They come to my home, man speaker. Here it is. Here it is. They are. But man speaker, for the owner, because I know the owner wants the rent, I will not make any fuss. But man speaker, I go home after work. I don't come and look for boat and judge the Rodney Bay. So man speaker, they will not understand what a retaining structure means. Because that's not the reality in Rodney Bay. Not the reality. Madam Speaker, when the people in my constituency suffer, I suffer with them. After Hurricane Allen, there was no electricity. Hurricane Thomas, sorry. There's no electricity. The electricity stopped right in front of my house by Mr. Arnold's residence. There was no, I didn't set my home, no electricity. It stopped right there. I never for one moment complained or called Lucilec and said I have light at my home. I endured it like all the people of Cassius East who had no light. So if your Cassius East will not listen to you when you tell them that PIP wall is a priority and you left them suffering, they will not listen. Because they know that's not the nature of the man. They know that is not Philip J. Pierre. And they will stand by Philip J. Pierre when the time comes. So, man, speaker, all those who think they have something on me, I build walls and I won't. They'll be heading for me. Propaganda. Viciousness, man, speaker. Madam Speaker, I sat and I listened to the members opposite. Boast about things in the constituency. One member said, Madam Speaker, that they could spend $21 million in the constituency, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I want Madam Speaker, I want to remind the Minister of Communication Works that the Bokash Road has collapsed, Madam Speaker. Yes, it is half of the road has collapsed. When we left government in 2006, we started the repair of that road from Babalo. We reached Kakodira by my boundary with the member for Babalo. He knows that. I see him there sometimes. He's cordial, if only that. So, Madam Speaker, we need that road repaired. That Bokash Road needs to be repaired. I wrote the Minister of Communication Works. He replied and he said that road will be repaired in the next fiscal year. That was 2 years ago. But, Madam Speaker, if I was petty, I would have walked with the minister's drivers. I would go in front of them like they did when the Marshall School was bad. Go in front of them. Demonstration. The road is big. I said to the minibus drivers, be patient. Be patient. Because there are Hurricane Thomas Sparks, and there are priorities. Be patient. I tell the minibus drivers to be patient, man. Because I don't use them for petty politics. I don't. But man, I want to tell the Honourable Minister that the Bokash Road needs to be fixed, Madam Speaker. The Bokash Road needs to be fixed urgently. Bagatelle, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I want to tell civil servants, do not interfere in politics. Castries East has one parliamentary representative. Castries East has one parliamentary representative. Civil servants must not interfere in partisan politics. Civil servants must not allow threats, must not allow bulldozing, must not allow letter writing to fool them. They must do their job for the government of the day. And the Constitution says that Castries East has one parliamentary representative. I just want to warn civil servants, Madam Speaker. I just want to warn them, do their job, and understand that they relate to the parliamentary representative of Castries East, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the Bagatelle Road. We need, Madam Speaker, urgently, and understand what the minister said. He said there's a problem, because the old Victoria Road where it ends might collapse and fall into the Bagatelle Road. Now, Madam Speaker, let me give an example, Madam Speaker. These lies and that propaganda. When Hurricane Thomas, the night of the day after, it would have been Junior Creole, I drove in the rain. I left my home with two people, Madam Speaker, MacGyver and another Rastaman. We drove up into Bagatelle. When I reached that, it was raining, Madam Speaker. The guys there said to me, Bossman, move there. And just at that, a few minutes after, Madam Speaker, that hill came down. But Madam Speaker, after that, there was a landslide in Anchipo on the Garden Grove Road. There's a landslide, Madam Speaker. So I was at church on Sundays. On Sunday I go to church, Madam Speaker, not for politics. I go to the Marshall Catholic Church, not for politics. And talking about the Marshall Catholic Church, I want to ask the Prime Minister that the belfry in that church has collapsed, and I hope that the church can get a donation, a contribution to help the belfry. I know the Prime Minister helps churches. I know he's helped the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm asking him in public, because I know very soon from now, somebody will come and say they're helping the church. So if somebody else can get it, I'll be happy to get it. But the church, Mr. Prime Minister, I spoke that to you a long time ago. So I've told you, Madam Speaker, the important thing in life, Madam Speaker, is trust. We spoke that a long time ago. So I didn't say that, but the important thing in life is trust. So, Madam Speaker, when the hurricane missed Honorable Member for Castries South was there with me. Remember at the meeting when I spoke about the church belfry? So, Madam Speaker, I hope that something can be done for the church belfry. So, Madam Speaker, In Anchipo, we have landslide problems. Garden Grove Road, there's a landslide. So I left church after, and I went there. Propaganda. Here come the tobacco. Propaganda. Propaganda. I came there with... Man Speaker, if you know the techness that happens in Kashi East, you wouldn't believe, Man Speaker. So, Man Speaker, I want to tell the Minister of Communication Works that there are landslides in Garden Grove. The Human Resource Development Center, the Prime Minister came to visit it. He didn't tell me, but as soon as he was there, I heard he was there. You passed around. You stopped there. You stopped to look at it. Mr. Prime Minister, didn't you stop when there was a when to look at the retaining, the need for retaining structure, and you built it? But it's very much the center. I'm just thanking you. You're so much, you're so high, for not listening. I'm just thanking you for being the HRDC. You are too high, for relax yourself. You're still Prime Minister. Relax. I'm thanking you for the retaining wall. Relax. But you, Mr. Prime Minister, you stopped and you looked at it. Yes, you did.
He doesn't know what he
has. Mr. Prime Minister, you can't test me, you know. I speak the truth. You can't test me. Madam Speaker, the Human Resource Development Center, the wall, the retaining structure is being built because that social asset was a problem. And I thank the government for it. Madam Speaker, playing fields. The James Belgrave Court, we repaired it during our last term of office. The court was damaged. Madam Speaker, the Social Development Fund held meetings with people, never informed the parliamentary rep, never. And the propaganda was on the road. Marshall Grounds will be better than the stadium. On the road. There were meetings. They formed groups. They promised people work to repair the Marshall Grounds, Madam Speaker. Up to this day, the parliamentary representative has never been informed, Madam Speaker. But they believe that they can do it in secret, and I will not know, Madam Speaker. But up to now, there has been the James Belvis Court has not been repaired and no work has happened on the Marshall Ground. So I want to ask the Social Development Fund that even though they do not involve me, even though they keep me away, I need the construction and the repair of the James Belvis Court. I need it, Madam Speaker. I need the Marshall Grounds to be refurbished and redone. So even though you leave me out, I have no problem with that, but just do it. Madam Speaker, land slippage and landslide. Madam Speaker, you may recall the Maynard Hill and Tooge disaster. You may recall that, Madam Speaker. You may recall that houses were damaged. And this government, a model of reconstruction after a disaster, a model. We rehoused the people. We paid rent for them for a few months. And we developed an area in Kareli. And we sold the land for them at a moderate rate. Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, the land in Black Mali, there are some issues there. There are some issues, Madam Speaker. We started a program of guttering and water tanks to avoid the water from coming from the roofs and causing erosion, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, do you know? Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, do you know, Mr. Prime Minister, if I feel hurt by the way the people of Cassis East are being used, I have a right to cry. Because they are being used, they are being abused for political motives. Madam Speaker, we started the situation regarding the drains and the water tanks in these areas. Madam Speaker, you know very quietly. They went in the dark and they gave contracts to fellas. And the sad thing, Madam Speaker, as soon as they finish giving the contracts, first tell me, boss man, I have something. That's the connection I have with them. They went in the dark and they gave people contracts to put guttering in the Bagata area. Nobody, I was never told anything. But you know what happened? The person that they gave the contract, one of the persons that they gave the contract, Madam Speaker, you know what happened to him? One of the persons that they gave the contract, God bless his soul, died Satan. Yes. Died in rather fatal circumstances. He was one of the people that were given the contract, Madam Speaker. And that has been the trend, Madam Speaker. And when that happened, Madam Speaker, because in that area there was an upheaval, very quickly they went and they gave the other fellows contract for $40,000. As soon as that guy lost his life, the next day the agent went up. $40,000 contract. The next day. To keep them quiet. That is the trickery, Madam Speaker, that happens in Kashmir. That's a trickery. But Madam Speaker, I want to tell the government that the guttering of the houses in Bagatelle, in Touj and Minas Hill should continue because the people need it, Madam Speaker. The people need it. So even though you keep me out of it, do it. The people need it. They need it, Madam Speaker. Because, Madam Speaker, the politics and the politicians, some of us believe that we're going to be in power forever. We believe that, so we boast. That's the last time you heard. The truth is, Madam Speaker, there'll be a last time for each one of us inside of here. This job does not belong to any of us, Madam Speaker. And you have it today, you can lose it tomorrow. And you can lose it tomorrow and regain it the day after. So let's not boast about who can will be here or will not be here. But for the time being, we are here. So let us work for the benefit of the people of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, during our new term of office, we know the problems in the Bagatelle area is problems of land tenure. The Labour Party had a program called PROUD, where we developed and built infrastructure for the people and we sold the land to them at a good rate. When we get back in the government, we will do the same in the Bagatelle lands. The same in the Bagatelle lands. Because the Bagatelle lands have serious problems in terms of ownership and families and family that. So we'll work with the people so we can buy the land and we can resell it to the people to give them some security of tenure, Madam Speaker. Same with the land opposite where the Rockhall School were, Madam Speaker. The Ministry of Planning and Development held a meeting and they invited me. I was thankful, I went. They said that there would be some development in that area. I supported that, Madam Speaker, because it's good. It's good for the people. I want to tell the Ministry of Housing, as soon as possible, let us speak about that area. Let us speak about the development. Because it's not for me. The personal difference that you think you have with me will make no difference for the people of Kashi East. Hate Philip J. Pierre, but see about the constituents of Kashi East. Because Philip J. Pierre is just a servant of the people of Cassidy. So have your hatred against me and plan and plot against me, but do not let your Cassidy pay for it, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, we need to deal with these issues for the land behind the Rockall School, Madam Speaker. We have to deal with these issues. Madam Speaker, we know, Madam Speaker, that there are serious problems in Cassius East, Madam Speaker. And if I get them, Madam Speaker, the government, I want to implore the government to have a fund for victims of shootings, Madam Speaker. There are several people in Cassius East who have been the unfortunate victims of shootings. Some of them cannot, the medical attention, they cannot pay the bills, Madam Speaker. I think we should have some sort of fund to assist these people. There's a lady who got shot. She was just innocently going about her business. This lady, up to now, she has nothing has happened to her. She can't afford, Madam Speaker. There's a young man who also got shot. He can't afford it, Madam Speaker. So I'm saying, even though that does not give you votes, short-term votes, let us see if we can do something to assist them, Madam Speaker, because they need assistance. And you can let anybody else do it, Madam Speaker. It doesn't matter to me. Once you get the assistance for the people of Cassidy, that's what's important to me. The welfare of the people of Cassidy. Not the welfare, not short-term political gain. The welfare of the people of Cassidy, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this year, Madam Speaker, and for the last 4 years, the people of Cassius East, Madam Speaker, they need facilities. They need development of the infrastructure. All areas. Anchipo. And Madam Speaker, talking about Anchipo, Madam Speaker, I want to ask the Ministry of Planning, what is happening to the lands at Lapuizlo? What is happening to the lands at Lapuizlo, Madam Speaker? Because these lands, the title was with Wasco. Right now, they are visited by people with tapes, with cameras, planning roads, planning this, planning that, visit. I must understand things that as soon as this visit ends, I get a call. Bossman, they were there. And Bossman, they say they're building a road. Bossman, they say they're doing this. So right now, Speaker, there's a height in Lapuizlo. Because they're going to build a road. They're going to build a road around Lapuizlo to end it up in a concrete road by Bocage. Madam Speaker, when you bluff him, you must bluff to some level of sense, you know. How can you take a road from Lapuizlo and bring and join it into a concrete road? A little concrete road by the Assembly Church. That is what he's doing. So there have been meetings all over meetings. I had a meeting with the people of Lapuizlo, and I wrote a petition. I had to write a petition. And in the petition, listen to what the petition said. The petition simply said, Ministry of Planning, could you please tell us what is the future of the land? Because a few months ago, they destroyed two houses that were built. Note, we do not complain about the houses that were destroyed. Because you want to say, I don't get involved in short-term political gain. I said to the people, whereas it is a little rough to destroy the houses, fact is, you should not squat. So they destroyed the houses. I wrote the Ministry of Planning. I sent a petition to the Ministry of Planning. Yes. To tell them what will be the fate of these Lapuizlo lands, Madam Speaker. They went in there and they said to the people that they're going to build a road. They'll sell land for them. They'll divide it into spots. All kinds of promises. So the people signed the petition, but they said to me, parliamentary rep, do not sell anything yet. because you are afraid of victimization. But I told them to leave me out. Leave me out, man, speaker. So right now, Lapis Blue is the latest kid on the block. Every afternoon, rain, deluge, we're in there holding meetings to tell people we're going to build roads for them and we're going to sell land for them, man, speaker. So, Madam Speaker, I want to ask the Minister of Planning not to tell me, but tell the residents of Lapis Blue, what are they going to do with the land in Lapis Blue, Madam Speaker? Madam Speaker, Madam Speaker, the people of Cassis East, Madam Speaker, you must not make them suffer because they voted Labour. Madam Speaker, they've created a kind of atmosphere in that constituency. An atmosphere because there is no work in the economy, everybody wants contract, Madam Speaker. So what happens is that no plan. There's no plan. So they have footpath going in people's yard, some have some people's yard going. Well, even let me give an example, Madam Speaker. A footpath was built in a place in Arundel Hills. Now that footpath was built in somebody's yard. That lady is residing in Martinique. The lady came to me and said to me, what happened? Who gave you permission to put footpath in my yard? So I said to her, madam, I'm not aware of that. So the lady was even annoyed because me put a footpath right in the lady's yard, man. Right in the yard. You see, man, because the thing is, you must do better than me. So as soon as you come in, you, bossman under contract, footpath there. Bossman under contract, kick and all there. Bossman, that's what happened, Madam Speaker. No plan. Absolutely no plan. When we get back into government, Madam Speaker, when the people of Cassis East will do the right thing again, you know what's going to happen? We will continue. We will have a plan. You see, Madam Speaker, what is in Cassis? Do we have plans? Because we tell the people of Cassis East seriously. We don't believe that you can fool them with these short-term measures. We have a plan. We have a serious plan so we can decide what is happening in Cassis East, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I want to thank the people of Cassis East for their support. You see, Madam Speaker, they have learned the art, Madam Speaker. They understand the meaning of political deception. They understand it. And they are doing a good job of it, Madam Speaker. They're doing a very good job of it, Madam Speaker. Because in spite of the lies and the propaganda, So what I want to do, what is possible, Madam Speaker, is when the propaganda went out, Pierre Bill Wall by his home, I heard they have in secret, boy, we have Pierre, all over the place, we have Pierre. He has fear at all, Madam Speaker. You see, what they do not know, Madam Speaker, is the people know, the people see, and the people understand. The people understand, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, the people of Cassis East, I want to thank them. I want to thank them for their support. Because for the last 4 years, Madam Speaker, from 2006, Madam Speaker, these people have been fed with a diet of lies, propaganda, half-truths, misinformation about me. Madam Speaker, you don't believe, Madam Speaker, that you have a political meeting and you have a competition, and you have a karaoke competition. Here I must go. There is an obsession with Pierre and Cassis East. An obsession, Madam Speaker. I know I'm a good-looking fella, so why are you upset? There is an obsession with Pierre and Cassis East. An obsession. So, Madam Speaker, do not let the people of Kashi suffer more. Don't let them suffer more, Madam Speaker. Do what you have to do for them. Do what you have to do for them, Madam Speaker. Do what you have to do for them. Because you see, Madam Speaker, they mean a lot to me. I have been working with these people, Madam Speaker, from 1982. In 87, Madam Speaker, we were on that trail. I have seen these kids, little kids, Madam Speaker, who came to my Christmas parties, even though they tried to take my Christmas party from me, take the day from me. Take a day from me. Take a day from me, Madam Speaker. I know these kids. These kids know me. When I go, I see them, the hundreds of them, they've got bursaries from our program. When I see them, I see them working in banks. Okay, well, they say, Mr. Pierre, I came to a Christmas party. There is a connection, Madam Speaker. There's a connection between these people and me. Because you see, I live with them. I work with them, Madam Speaker. And I speak the truth to them, Madam Speaker. They understand me, and I understand them. So, Madam Speaker, do not play politics to the people. Madam Speaker, this budget did not create any excitement in Tunisia. It's the first time that there's been a budget and there's been no excitement. You have not even heard. If it happened today, I'm not sure. When the budget before, there used to be analyzed by non-partisan experts. This budget, there's been no analysis. Probably it's too good. There's been no experts. In fact, today, I called one of the experts. I said to them, are you saying anything on the budget? He said to me, boy, I really do not know what I can say about it, so I'll leave it alone. What we want, Madam Speaker, is we want a budget that is realistic. We want a budget that is grounded in reality. And the reality of the people of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, is even though that there's been a rebate growth rate, that economic growth is not being felt in the pocketbooks of the people of St. Lucia. And you know why? Because, Madam Speaker, apart from Hurricane Thomas, and apart from the world recession, and apart from the problems in the outside world, the government's priorities are wrong. And what we're saying, Madam Speaker, is we're saying to the government, relook at your priorities. It is not too late to say, you made a mistake with the Dyer building. It's not too late. You have enough time to say that, Madam Speaker. You have enough time to say it. What we say to the government is try to get the La Paradis Hotel open, because that would create employment for the people of that side of the country. We are saying to the government, get a response on the 500 acres of land, the 500 acres of prime beach land that you've lost. Try. Call the opposition to work with you to get to something about this land. A united country, Madam Speaker. A united country. So, Madam Speaker, I want to thank you, Madam Speaker, and I want to thank the people of Kashi's East for re-electing me 3 times. And this time is going to be the better time, because it's going to be the 4th time. And the government of the St. Lucia Labour Party will be in government, so we can continue the work that was halted in the year 2006. I thank you very much, Madam Speaker.